No vaccine can protect you from the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast whose leaky batteries ruined all of its childhood toys. And now, letting sleeping dogs lie, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. You might have heard my Canadian nephew tell you who I am, but in case he slept in this morning, I am Doug Jones, your Medicare specialist, if not expert. Let's go with specialist for today. And I am here to help you feel really, really confident about your impending transition to Medicare from Obamacare. I don't know if that's coming up for you soon or if you're listening for occasional Medicare tidbits that may have slipped through the cracks in your Medicare plans, or if you're just here to be entertained. Any of those things are possible, but what I like to do is to tell people who have an impending Medicare encounter that one of the best ways that they can be prepared for that is to purchase Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. And if I were you, I would go to Amazon.com, where there's a paperback on sale with colorful illustrations, or go to Amazon.com. Did I say Barnes & Noble? Yeah, Barnes & Noble is the first one. Amazon is the second one. That's where you're going to find four different editions. You're going to find the regular paperback with black and white illustrations. You're going to find the Audible book, which you can listen to, and the Medicare knowledge will be just wafted over you and will penetrate your ears and permeate your brain. If you prefer to have quicker access, then you can purchase the Kindle version. Not only very inexpensive, but also readily achieved, readily acquired. Just push the button that says, yes, I will pay the fee, and then that Kindle will appear in your reader in no time flat. Or if you're a big spender and you like to impress your friends and relatives, then you can purchase the hardcover book. It's the most magnificent of all of the Medicare for the Lazy Man tomes. It is a little on the pricey side at about $24 plus shipping, but it is going to last forever. It's a durable, beautiful creation. So that's Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. Now, it is 79 degrees in Arizona, but I am a little concerned about the security of our podcast recording because Randall Carson has changed over to complete 100% solar power, and I see a big giant cloud over his house. And I don't know what's going on down there. I can hear him chuckling, so that tells me that maybe the backup has kicked in. Is your backup generator running right now? Or
I've got so many knobs and gauges and whistles and bells to look at now, I don't really know what's going on. All I know is that the little people marching, they're little squares, they're not sure. Actually people, but they're marching out, which means that I am producing an overage of power and I'm selling it back to the grid.
So the big cloud I'm seeing that should be over your house is really not allowing the it's not impeding the operation of your solar array. But
I will tell you that you said, what's your temperature up there in the high ground?
Well, it did say 79, now it says 77.
Oh my gosh, you are so much cooler than we are some days. I'm sitting down here at 86.
Well, I don't know what weather station my computer is reading from. I know I've got a thermometer outside in the back on my patio, on the covered part of my patio, which never sees the sun. And so that should be the most pure reading of the actual air temperature that you can get, something that's perpetually in the shade. But I haven't been back there to take a look at what it says. So I have to go by what's on my computer screen, which is 77 degrees right now. It was 79 a couple of minutes ago.
Well, you know, I don't know what's going on with temperatures because we really aren't that far apart,
No.
from a land perspective. But Doug is so far up in the high ground, sometimes he's in the clouds. He can't see the ground. He is so high.
My phone says it's 82. Is that a little closer to what you have?
That sounds a little better. I'm sitting at 86. Let me see what my phone says. We are at 84.
Well, that's close enough for me, and I'm sure the audience is fascinated with
Oh,
this
they're
conversation.
going to start. I hear the bell. I hear the phone ringing now. Would you
Yes,
guys
yes.
get on to do some important stuff?
Well, I do. I'm anxious to get the first item out of the way. So, you won't even have to nudge me today. I'm going to get started without being encouraged to do so by my nominal producer. And it's I got a message this morning from a customer that is always a listener to the podcast and a correspondent and occasional contributor of the of some material for the podcast. And he sent me something that just unfortunately cannot be ignored. He says, "Hi, Doug. Greetings from the DC swamp suburbs." And he's a conservative like we are, and he's not happy with the way things are going in Washington, DC, but he's trapped in Virginia, not far from the Capitol. And he says, "Just an FYI, and since I know you appreciate being informed by your clients, which in turn helps contribute to your podcast, I just received a notice from United American Insurance Company that my high deductible plan G rates have increased by a little over 9%. They went from $44 a month to $48 a month, and that starts in May. That's 4 months after his original start date. There's a 4 month guarantee, rate guarantee that occurs from the date your coverage begins with United American, typically. The letter cited 2024 Part A deducts and copay increases as the cause." All right. Well, every year, the Part A deductible is adjusted to coincide with inflationary trends. And that went from $1,600 to $1,632 this year. And the Part B increase was also something that your Medicare supplement has to cover. And the effects on the high deductible Medicare supplement are going to be less than they would be on a Plan G or even an older Plan F. Those plans are affected much more directly by increases. But I just wanted to use this piece of correspondence as a reminder that we live in inflationary times. The current administration is about as bad as we've seen when it comes to spending money that we don't have and printing more money to cover the interest rates and the carrying costs of the money we have. All of that, or excuse me, of the debt that we have, and all of that adds up to inflationary pressure on the economy. And one of the first elements of the economy, one of the most sensitive and one that feels inflationary effects first, is frankly the medical arena. Medical costs go up faster than almost anything else. Now, part of that is the new technology that's always being brought out, the cost of testing things, the cost of trying to make sure that everybody's safety is fully protected. But then, of course, there are the there's a physical plant that, a hospital is a big building, and that requires a lot of maintenance and a lot of debt service. And then, of course, you've got a whole bunch of people that work in a hospital. It's a fairly labor-intensive activity. And even if you're talking about doctors, I still think about the old days when my neighbor across the street was our family doctor. And he would come over and treat whichever kid had measles or mumps or whatever. And then he would go downstairs and have a few cocktails with my parents. And then his home was like across, I said across the street, but basically it was down the road a half a mile. And so he was always happy to come over and treat the kids. And I'm sure there was like a $5 home visit fee. And those days are gone. Those doctors' practices are full of people who have to shuffle paper and follow rules, keep them legal. They have to pay a lot of money for defense against potential lawsuits. Liability insurance is very expensive. And all of that drives up the cost of medical treatment. And then it drives up the cost of the insurance that we all buy to pay our medical bills if we need to have that done. So I want to remind everybody that inflation is our enemy. And even the best Medicare supplement plan that I can give you, which is going to be a high deductible plan G, will still have occasional rate increases. And if I give you if you become my client and you say, tell me about all of the products available in your portfolio, and I might show you an array of 6 or 7 or 8 Medicare supplement plans, each of those plans will have a cost associated with them. And the cheapest one on my spreadsheet will not stay cheapest forever, because they all have the same pressures operating on them. They all have actuaries and accountants working for them. And so the one that's the least costly is eventually going to be leapfrogging all of the other inexpensive ones and become, if not the most costly, it'll come up real close. Now, United American is the company providing the high deductible plan G for this client who wrote me today. And they have a history. I've got a 10-year history that they pass out, or used to pass out a lot, showing their high deductible plans performance over 10 years in the early part of the 21st century here. And it was stellar, because we didn't have much inflation and we had tight control over the expenditures and so forth. And so they had, in some states, they had reductions over a 10-year period. Somebody would buy a high deductible plan, and at the end of that 10-year period, it cost actually measurable, like 6% to 10% to maybe 18% less than it had at the outset when they first bought it. And that's the kind of financial responsibility that I like to represent. But unfortunately, in these days of outrageous inflationary pressures, it's not always possible to do that. So I just wanted to let you know. Now, never roll over and just accept a rate increase. If you want to chat about it or complain about it, I'm your agent. If you've purchased your plan from me, you have every right to call me or to email me and to complain about it, and to ask me what the other companies in my portfolio might charge for the same plan. And in fact, you may ask me to switch you to a different plan, and then we'll see if the guaranteed issue is still in effect, or if your health warrants the changing from one company to another, or if your state has a birthday rule that would allow it to change, allow you to change companies without needing to fill out a health questionnaire. Any number of things can happen, and I am always here to help serve you, but I want you to understand the reality of the situation is right now we're going to be having larger increases than we expect or than we want, and we're going to have to ride it out until that problem is solved at levels higher than you and I can ever anticipate. So let's keep our fingers crossed. It happened back in the past. Ronald Reagan came in, took him 2 years, took his advisors and his accountants and or his economists a couple of years to bring inflation under control after his predecessor had just thoroughly wrecked the economy. So I anticipate a few years of adjustment, even if the next election results go the way we hope they will. But eventually, inflation can be brought under control, and we won't need to have this conversation very much more. So that's my thought on his subject matter, and I'm glad he wrote to mention that his rate increase had happened. I normally turn the microphone off when I slurp my hot tea, but I didn't do it today. I was out of juice. My throat was in need of a little lubrication. Anyway, the content curator has been hard at work, and she has collected a pile of stuff here that I thought was maybe interesting, maybe not, maybe too basic for us to be concerned about, but I thought this might make a little back and forth with Randy. So I'm looking at something from Medicare Dana at the J. Bird Insurance Group, and I did look up her her telephone area code, and they appear to be in Austin, Texas. Now, if I were in Austin, Texas right now, I would skedaddle on over to the Saxon Pub on Lamar. I think it's on Lamar, and have some Wrigleyville South, either Chicago-style hot dog or Italian beef sandwich, and that would be my lunch for today. There's a Wrigleyville South food trailer over there outside the Saxon Pub that provides all the food for the patrons of the Saxon Pub, plus anybody that tends to wander in during the week for lunch. And they do catering, by the way, but it's all food inspired by the Cubs in Chicago at the Wrigley Field. Vienna Beef, there's a partnership there, and the proprietor of the food trailer in Austin went to Vienna Beef U, and so he's an expert at serving tasty, tasty Vienna beef hot dogs and Vienna beef Italian beef sandwiches. Anyway, that's what I'd do if I were in Austin, but I'm not in Austin right now. But this Medicare Dana has consulted ChatGPT to find out what seniors, and this word senior is used irritatingly all the way through this article. But this person says, given all the hype about artificial intelligence and ChatGPT, I figured I'd give it a try. I asked ChatGPT, what are seniors worried about right now? And I was pleasantly surprised at the accuracy of the response. Well, let's see what the responses were. So the first thing is, what is ChatGPT? For those of you still trying to understand artificial intelligence, let's break it down. Don't worry, you're not alone. Oh, I wasn't that worried. Like Siri, the virtual assistant programmed into all iPhones, ChatGPT is a chatbot that will respond to questions and prompts. Unlike Siri, who only responds to commands and performs tasks, ChatGPT was programmed to engage in back-and-forth conversation. ChatGPT draws information from a massive library of resources to form responses. To get a little technical, ChatGPT can be defined as a natural language processing tool driven by artificial intelligence technology that allows you to have human-like conversations and much more with the chatbot. The language model can answer questions and assist you with tasks such as composing emails, essays, and code. I got to say, my next-door neighbor is an IT guy, and he keeps talking about ChatGPT. And in fact, he signed me up with a ChatGPT account, and I think it's costing me $20 a month. And I wish I knew better how to make it worthwhile instead of just, you know, sending out $20 every month. Randy, are you familiar at all with ChatGPT and how best one might use it in the arena that we're in?
I am. Well, you've already mentioned probably the top three. Excuse me. People, it assists you in responding to emails quickly.
Uh-huh.
It you know, in the college world, it can write an essay for you based on certain topics. It can do just about any, and in the world that I'm in, it can write code. Now I will tell you that the responses you get from ChatGPT are based on what it has been trained to do, which is, you were talking about those databases.
Yeah.
Okay. The database is so massive that they have to process in order to update the knowledge in ChatGPT that they only update it once or twice a year, if that. So it's not something that you want to depend on for current events. Okay, like you can't ask ChatGPT, what do you think about, so-and-so dying? It'll say, yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, O.J. Simpson's death will not appear in ChatGPT because it
has
for a while because it hasn't been fed any new knowledge.
Wow. You know, that's something that's very interesting, but it occurred to me that we have long passed the halfway point of our episode wherein we pause and bow our heads for some careful contemplation.
Yes,
of our sponsors.
Absolutely correct. And if we would have been having ChatGPT control this, it may have warned us.
Well, darn it. Let's figure out how to make it do that in the future, shall we? Meanwhile, I'm going to pause quietly for just a few minutes and let's listen to what our sponsors have to say, and then we'll come back and continue this. All righty, we're back, and I was duly inspired by our sponsors' messages to continue our chat about ChatGPT. The document that Mary gave us for inclusion here was the premise here is that the Medicare Dana asked ChatGPT some questions about what seniors are concerned about today. And so, let's see, the first question had something to do with health and well-being. Here is the topic, health and well-being. What are seniors concerned about with respect to health and well-being? And ChatGPT answered, seniors often worry about the physical health, managing chronic conditions, and maintaining good quality of life. Concerns may include access to healthcare, affordability of medications, mobility, and the potential for age-related illnesses. Now, Randy, if you had asked ChatGPT what older people are concerned about with respect to health and well-being, would you expect an answer like that? Does ChatGPT Yes. perform that well for you?
Yes, it will give you the colors of the question can influence the response a little bit. But if you ask it the same exact flat-out question, you will get a very similar response. The other thing I would mention, Doug, is that ChatGPT is the godfather of all of this AI. So depending on which chat engine you're talking to, if you're talking to the original ChatGPT or some derivative thereof, you may get a slightly different response. But, you know, just for you folks that listen to us regularly, ChatGPT is the godfather of the artificial intelligence that, guess who? Medicare, who? Disadvantage companies are handing out to their 21-year-old, just graduated from college people and say, here, make your decisions on these people's Yeah, it's ChatGPT. So your bottom line is it's all based on the same knowledge, same engine. It's just a matter of how you use it.
Right. That's what we read about recently. I think it was last week, one of the episodes referred to the lawsuits filed against huge insurance companies by relatives of deceased patients because they discovered that the medical decisions were forced upon the doctors treating these people by an AI algorithm that was faulty, apparently. And so we had a bunch of dead patients, and their relatives are up in arms about it, and they have sued. The two companies in question were Humana and United Healthcare. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. So they asked ChatGPT about financial security, loneliness, and isolation. What do seniors think about technology and digital literacy, housing, and long-term care? And none of the answers were surprising. It was all pretty much rote, what you would expect if you ask a bunch of worry warts, what's your feeling about needing long-term care? And the answer that ChatGPT came up with was some seniors may have concerns about being a caregiver for a spouse or family member. Worries may include managing caregiving duties, finding support services, and balancing personal needs. That surprised me a little bit because I thought it would predict that the person was concerned about becoming a person in need of long-term care rather than becoming a caretaker of a person who needs long-term care. But anyway, I thought it was interesting that one can have a conversation with ChatGPT, and I would like to learn how to do that. Because someday I might want to take a little, vacation from this podcast. And if I can just have my responses recorded or predicted by ChatGPT, I wouldn't feel so guilty about taking time off. Randy's sitting there thinking, how can I use it to, get me some too? Anyway, we move on to another kind of related article here. And I have been accused by doctors of doing too much research. If I go to the dermatologist, I think I've got skin cancer. And he tells me, don't worry about it. It's a skin tag or something. He shoots me with Freon and problem solved. But he always refers to Dr. Google. Don't be dealing with Dr. Google. That just, that's going to mislead you. Well, this article is headlined, Dr. Google Meets Its Match, and its match is Dr. GPT. Wow, where have we heard that one before? So the article goes on to tell us, as a fourth-year ophthalmology resident at Emory University School of Medicine, a guy named Riley Lyons, biggest responsibilities include triage. When a patient comes in with an eye-related complaint, Lyons must make an immediate assessment of its urgency. He often finds patients have already turned to Dr. Google online. They are likely to find that any number of terrible things could be going on based on the symptoms they're experiencing. So when two of Lyons' fellow ophthalmologists at Emory came to him and suggested evaluating the accuracy of the AI chatbot ChatGPT in diagnosing eye-related complaints, he jumped at the chance. In June of last year, this is, Lyons and his colleagues reported in an online publication that ChatGPT compared quite well to human doctors who reviewed the same symptoms, and it performed vastly better than the symptom checker on the popular health website WebMD. And despite the much-publicized hallucination problem known to afflict ChatGPT, its habit of occasionally making outright false statements, the Emory study reportedly that the most recent version of ChatGPT made zero grossly inaccurate statements when presented with standards of eye care complaints. My microphone apparently decided to change.
You're still on your big boy mic, so you're fine. Good. But you did drop out there just a little bit. I don't know, maybe it was some sort, maybe the pigeons were hanging on the wire too tight.
I'm going to blame it on the sucking sound that your solar array is causing everybody in Phoenix. Now people are wondering why their lights all of a sudden got real bright.
Yeah. We're closer to the sun. Oh my God, we're going to fry.
Yeah. Oh, it's just Randy's solar array taking.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, the relative proficiency of ChatGPT, which debuted in November of 2022, so it's like a year and a half old, this was a surprise to these doctors. The artificial intelligence engine is definitely an improvement over just putting something into a Google search bar and seeing what you can find. But the findings underscore a challenge facing the healthcare industry as it assesses the promise and the pitfalls of generative artificial intelligence, the type of artificial intelligence used by ChatGPT. The accuracy of chatbot-delivered medical information may represent an improvement over Dr. Google, but there are still many questions about how to integrate this new technology into a healthcare system with the same safeguards historically applied to the introduction of new drugs or medical devices. Boy, my microphone is bouncing back and forth. Many doctors believe AI-based medical tools should undergo an approval process similar to the FDA's regime for drugs, but that would be years away. It's unclear how such a regime might apply to the general-purpose AIs like ChatGPT. AI also may have better bedside manner. Another study published in April by researchers from the University of California, San Diego, noted that healthcare professionals rated ChatGPT answers as more empathetic than responses from human doctors. Indeed, a number of companies are exploring how chatbots could be used for mental health therapy, and some investors in the companies are betting to enjoy chatting and even bonding with an AI friend. Holy crap. That's I don't think so. Yeah, I used to have an invisible friend when I was a kid. I think that's where it ended when I turned about 7. The company behind Replica, one of the most advanced of the genre, markets its chatbot as the AI companion who cares, always here to listen and talk, always on your side. Boy, how pathetic do you have to be to want to fork over dough for something like that? We need physicians to start realizing that these new tools are here to stay, and if they're offering new capabilities, both to physicians and patients, that's an important development. While a postdoctoral fellow in nursing at the University of Alberta in Canada, this guy published a study in February reporting that ChatGPT significantly outperformed online symptom checkers and evaluating a set of medical scenarios. They are accurate enough at this point to start meriting some consideration, he says. Still, even the researchers who have demonstrated ChatGPT's relative reliability are cautious about recommending that patients put their full trust in the current state of AI. For many medical professionals, AI chatbots are an invention or an invitation to trouble. They cite a host of issues relating to privacy, safety, bias, liability, transparency, and the current absence of regulatory oversight. The biggest danger is the likelihood that the market incentives will result in AI interfaces designed to steer patients to particular drugs or medical services. Companies might want to push a particular product over another. The potential for exploitation of people and the commercialization of data is unprecedented. OpenAI, the company that developed ChatGPT, also urged caution. OpenAI's models are not fine-tuned to provide medical information, a company spokesperson said. You should never use our models to provide diagnostic or treatment services for serious medical conditions. And an epidemiologist said if regulators came out and said that if you want to provide patient services using a chatbot, you have to demonstrate the chatbot's improved patient outcomes, then randomized controlled trials would be registered tomorrow for a host of outcomes. But apparently that hasn't happened. So I think it's pretty interesting that we're on the verge of developing a machine that's going to operate just like the Star Trek computer, only that computer had a really nice woman's voice. But other than that, I got to figure out how to use this stuff to make my life easier, Randy. I've been spending years, as you know, trying to figure out how to automate my processes so I can spend more time with potential new clients and grow the business. But it's difficult for me to figure out how to use ChatGPT in that effort.
Well, I will be more than happy to give you a little primer on ChatGPT and the things you might be able to use it for. But on a really closely related topic, I've got friends of mine that I say the term AI, and they literally scream and run the other way. Wow. I would just tell you there's nothing wrong with AI. And in the context of what Doug and I were talking about in terms of it making decisions on medical, processes, medical, right.
Treatment, diagnostics,
you know, approval of claims, you know, all that stuff. If you have a situation, and I'll tell you right now as a technical expert, if you have a situation where you believe that you, whether you're, you know, Medicare disadvantaged, you know, customer or whatever you are, if you have a situation where you believe that you were unfairly treated based on the knowledge of an AI chatbot, then the first question out of your mouth ought to be when you're talking to the insurance company as you're filing your grievance or your review request or what, say, okay, was at any step in this process, was AI taken into account and influenced your decision? That's all you need to say. And if they say yes, then you've got a case.
Well, there you go. There you go. But it, unfortunately, the situation there is that it's after the fact. It'd be nice to prevent the risk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mitigate the risk in advance of any mistakes that occur.
This goes along with some of my other little, you know, funny little, not funny, just related little terms. AI, we're talking about AI, artificial intelligence. Well, you know, under the context of what we're also saying, AI could stand for artificial insurance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, boy. Well, in any event, thank you for your insight on that. And thank you for the offer of giving me a primer. I think I might take you up on that. But I'm looking forward to wrapping this up. So could you assist us in that regard?
Let's land the plane. There's always a few things I like to do before we totally come in for a landing, but grab your pencil. You need to write Doug a letter. Here's the address. Email dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Don't forget, Doug is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. MedicareForTheLazyMan.com is where you want to look if you want to do some things around Medicare. You want to, you know, put a questionnaire into Doug, you know, whatever the case may be. That's the place you want to go, medicareforthelazyman.com. If you find a place to drop a review on the content that Doug produces, please do that. We've got a number of different forms of content, but the numbers, as we've just talked about, you know, it's all about the numbers in our business. So if you could drop a review, it would be very much appreciated. And last but certainly not least, thank you for joining us today. You could have been a number of different places and you weren't. You were with us listening to a few valuable moments of information on Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And if you want to count it out, you were here for 32 and a half minutes or thereabouts with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, originally from Oklahoma. No more. He's up in the high ground behind Cave Creek. And the difference in temperature is amazing between where he's at. He's up at 12,005 today. And so it's a lot cooler up there than it is at my house.
I've always been a cool dude, though, so I can handle it. And I appreciate all of you joining us today. Please come back for our next episode. We'll look forward to seeing you then. Bye-bye.